Our reading this morning is being brought to us by Yvonne and Hannah James. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 7, starting at verse 10. The sign of Emmanuel. The Lord sent another message to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God to give you a sign. It can be deep in the world of the dead or from high up in heaven. Ahaz answered, I will not ask for a sign. I refuse to put the Lord to the test. To that, Isaiah replied, Listen now, descendants of King David. It's bad enough for you to wear out the patience of people. Must you wear out God's patience too? Well then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son and will name him Emmanuel.
And our New Testament reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And if you're using a church Bible, it's on page 73. Beginning at verse 26, the birth of Jesus is announced. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you. Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what the words meant. The angel said to her, Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary said to the angel, I'm a virgin. How then can this be? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth? It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. And the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for your word to us. And Lord, we pray that you will shine your light by your Spirit into our hearts. Speak to us. Help us to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. At a nativity play, all was going well until the angel appeared and told the little girl Mary that she was going to have a baby. But how can this be? Said little Mary. Since I am a Viking. Now this morning our focus is on Mary, and she wasn't a Viking. But who was she really? And what can we learn from this servant of God? From our reading this morning, we learn that Mary was really just quite an ordinary girl. She was probably a teenager. She was soon to be married, as would be expected of a girl of her age, and she lived in an ordinary town. There's nothing special about her upbringing, and we're actually not told anything about her faith. From all that Luke tells us, there's nothing significant about her lifestyle, or amazing about her prayer life, or special even about her behaviour. And she's certainly not described as a perfect girl. In fact, in many ways, it's her ordinariness that brings her to this extraordinary task. You see, the angel comes and tells Mary that God has been gracious to her and he has blessed her. Mary is favoured by God, but undeservedly so. God's grace is always shown, not because of our merits, but only because of his goodness. If Mary had any qualities in her favour, it's that she was humble and willing to accept God's plan for her life and to obey him. But we only see these characters emerging after the angel has announced the news to Mary. Luke mentions nothing of any similar responses that Mary has made in the past. So who was Mary, this servant of God? Well, perhaps to the distant onlooker, she may have been regarded as a nobody. The kind of person you might pass on the streets without really noticing. Someone who just blends into the crowds. An ordinary kind of girl. But to God, she wasn't a nobody. To him, she was somebody special. And in his grace, he gave her a very special task to fulfill. I think Mary reminds us that to God, there is no such thing as a nobody. Ordinary people like you and me can be used for extraordinary tasks when God empowers us by his Spirit. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this when he writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Now remember what you were, my brothers and sisters, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. And he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. And this means that no one can boast in God's presence." Now, of course, that doesn't mean to say that God can't use you if you're well educated or if you're of noble birth. But to God, these things don't qualify you for a certain status. He sees every one of us just as we are, as broken people who get things wrong, and he offers each of us a fresh start and a changed life. But I do think there is perhaps a special word of encouragement here for those of us who do know what it feels like to be a bit of a nobody. Maybe your age or your circumstances make you feel overlooked or unvalued. Perhaps at work or at home you feel unappreciated or disregarded. Maybe a loss of employment or a change in your role has left you questioning your purpose or your identity. Or maybe you feel ignored, unwanted, maybe even at times like you're worth nothing. And to all of you, I urge you this morning to know and understand that is not how God sees you. Whether you are young, old, or somewhere in between, you are loved and you are valued by him. And there is something that he is calling you to do that perfectly suits your abilities and your circumstances at this time. To God, what you do for others never goes unnoticed. You always have the right set of abilities and qualifications to do all that he's called you to do if you trust in him. And it is you that he is interested in. You in your ordinariness, you in your brokenness, you in your circumstances. It is you that he loves and you that he has a purpose for today. Mary was a very ordinary girl, and yet Mary was God's servant. It was God's grace that let her be the mother of Jesus. And it's God's grace that calls us to be his children and appoints us to do his work on earth. So who are you? Who are you? I wholeheartedly believe God knows you and loves you as someone special, and he longs for you to fulfill his plan and purpose today. So we've thought for a few moments on who Mary was. Now I'd like us to consider, what did Mary know? What did she know? The obvious answer, I think, to that question is, of course, Mary knew what the angel told her. She knew she was going to have a child. She should call him Jesus. She knew he would be a very special person, the Son of God, and one day he'd be a king. She knew the angel had said that she had been blessed by God and that God was with her. And she knew that Elizabeth, her relative, was also expecting a baby, even though she was old. Now, I think it must have been so hard to comprehend what it was the angel was saying to her. But Mary just seems to grasp it really well. She only asks one question: how can this be? But even through her question, she doesn't appear to show any signs of doubt or of disbelief. Her question is for information rather than for proof. And yet the angel does prove to her something of the power of God, because he tells her about Elizabeth, and he qualifies that explanation by informing her there's nothing that God cannot do. In just a few words, Mary learned a lot. And yet, in many ways, there was still so much that she didn't know. She could probably relate to what the angel was saying to her, because she would have had some knowledge of the prophets and of Jewish teaching as she grew up. But I just wonder, how much of this would she really have grasped? She would probably have known that this news, as great and exciting as it was, would certainly make her life difficult for a while. There would be questions from others as to why she was pregnant and not yet married. And that would leave her not only humiliated by people locally, but legally could actually result in her being stoned. And then there was Joseph's perspective. How would he react to the news that she was pregnant? So this news would certainly cause her some problems. But had she got any idea that in the near future they would be fleeing for their lives to escape Herod? Perhaps it was better that she didn't know that at the time. Clearly Mary knew that her life was about to change dramatically. But she had no idea of some of the things that she would have to go through as a result. And what did she know about Jesus? Of course she knew he was somebody special. Did she know that he was going to heal people, to perform miracles, to attract such a following by his teaching? And did she know the suffering that he would have to go through as he willingly died for the whole of humankind? Even the disciples had difficulty understanding what would happen to Jesus, though Jesus tried to warn them. So I very much doubt that a teenage girl would have any idea what the words of the prophets meant for her baby, Jesus. Mary learned some important things from the angel that day, and yet there was still so much she didn't know. But this ordinary teenage girl knew one thing. She knew enough of God to trust him with what she didn't know, and to respond in obedience to him. Mary's experience reflects, I think, very much our own journey of faith in God. In many ways, that's what faith is all about, isn't it? As we're sure of what we hope for, certain of what we cannot see. God calls each one of us on a journey of faith with him, but our knowledge is limited as to where that might lead us. In my experience, the Christian life is exciting. It is an adventure. It's an amazing privilege to walk through life with the Creator of the world. And yet the Bible tells us quite clearly there is a cost to following Jesus. Now, we're certainly not immune to the pain and the suffering of this world just because we are Christians. And there may be times when actually we suffer because of our faith in Jesus. Yet the hope and the new life to which we're called certainly makes that journey worthwhile. Not to mention having that honour and privilege of serving the living God and continuing Jesus' mission in the world. When I decided to follow Jesus, I had no idea really where that would lead me. I certainly never expected to end up here. And I consider it to be a great privilege to be able to serve God in this way. Although this journey, my journey, certainly hasn't been without its cost. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here who has that experience. However God has called you to follow him, through work, through family life, through friendships, it is a joy and an honour to serve the living God. But it might require sacrifice too. So perhaps today God is challenging you to take that step of faith, to respond to his calling, to serve him or to obey him in a particular way. Like Mary, we won't know all the things that are in store for us. But Mary knew enough of God to trust him and to respond in obedience to him. Will you make that same response to him today? That response that is made with such simplicity and humility. Mary's response, we read, was to say, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." See, Mary takes seriously the message that the angel delivers. But this is not by any means a done deal at that stage. Mary makes a conscious decision to believe what the angel says and to trust in God and obey his calling. And I think that as we look at Mary, we're reminded that God's call to us also demands a response from us. God offers to each one of us the gift of new life with him. But like any gift, we have to choose to accept it. But the response, I don't think, stops there. Each day, aren't we continually choosing to trust in Jesus? Aren't we making that decision to follow his call for our lives? Now, most of us don't have the opportunity to hear God's call through a visit from an angel. But God is calling us nonetheless. And he's given each of us an opportunity to be his servant, just as he did with Mary. So I'd like you to imagine for a moment that maybe God did choose to send an angel to you this afternoon. What might that message for you include at this time? Would it be a call to you to trust in him, no matter how difficult the future looks, and to know that there is nothing that God cannot do? Would it be a call for you to follow him? You've heard about him long enough. There will always be some questions. But now is the time to believe and to follow. Would it be a call for you to serve him in a particular way? Well, how might I do that? Perhaps you'd ask the angel. Maybe for a moment you feel a bit overwhelmed by your ordinariness and a little bit inadequate to serve God. But when God is at work by grace through us, then through his Spirit, extraordinary things can be achieved. I'm sure if we'd have asked her, Mary would have felt very inadequate to be the mother of Jesus. Yet she responded in obedience. And whatever gift God has given to you, whatever way that he's prepared for you to share his love and compassion to the world, he will equip you to use, even if you are only willing to trust him and to obey him. Maybe today you remember how one or two people have mentioned something that you're good at. To you, it seems insignificant, just a little thing. You do it without thinking. But maybe that's part of your call from God today. There are no insignificant acts of kindness no insignificant ways that we can serve God. To God, all of it matters. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to believe in God, no matter how inadequate you feel, to respond to his calling on your life, and like Mary, to trust him and to obey him. And please remember that to God there are no nobodies. You are somebody. You are somebody very special. And he longs for you to fulfil his plan and purpose today. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for Mary's example to us. Her humility, her ordinariness, and her ability to trust you with all the things that she didn't know. And know that because you were with her, you would make it happen. And loving God, I pray for us this morning. Lord, for those of us who feel insignificant, unvalued, nobody special, help us to know who we are in you as your special child, as your servant who you have called for a specific purpose. Give us the courage, like Mary, to respond to you and to trust in you. Help us, Lord, whatever the future might look like at the moment, to hold on to you and hope in you, and to be willing to take that step of faith in you. And Lord, please show us what it is that is the next part of your plan for our lives. Reveal to us how you want us to serve you and glorify you. And may this Christmas time be a special time for us, because in our journey of faith with you, we have made another step closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.